welcome to Season 4 of Marketplace Kingdom. Hosted on the Street Faith Podcast channel, this series is brought to you by the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide you with biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. Now, friends, with this episode, we're celebrating the start of our fourth season, sharing some thoughts on where we've been and on where we're going. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Huizenga. Wherever you're listening, anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. Okay, well, Dave, it is February 9, 2018, as we record this session. Happy anniversary.
Yes, fantastic. It's good to celebrate what God has been doing and celebrate in remembrance of the great work that he's put us to.
Yeah.
And the lives that have been touched. How have things been going?
Well, I was going through some stats, and we're officially entering season four. We started this thing out in 2016, which is actually 2 years ago, but we've done three seasons in 2 years, two short ones and one long one. We've got 45 episodes up.
Wow.
So over 40 hours of really solid material for folks to be able to access free of charge and distill down to whatever need they have, take it, adapt it, and use it in their context. And in that time, our materials, printed online and podcasts, by our best estimates, have reached over 300,000 people in 73 countries.
Yeah, that's just wonderful. Praise God for that, huh?
Yeah. And what's most interesting is it's being accessed in some of the most difficult nations in the world for Christians. You know, we have folks from Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Algeria, India, China, Pakistan, Iraq. Two of the countries that have the highest listenership outside the United States are China and Russia.
Wow.
One of our largest listener groups is in Russia and Eastern Europe. We have more Russians listening than we do Canadians, which is surprising to me, given the number of Canadian subscribers we have.
It's wonderful, huh? Just to see that our Russian brothers and sisters are catching this picture that the church is to be mobilized, that church is not to hide between its walls, but to go out and be mobilized.
Yeah. Well, our last conversation, we talked about the impact of some of the teaching that we've been doing and the interactions we've been having with some folks in Kenya.
Yes.
And we've had some additional interactions with a group of folks who are in and working in the Ukraine. Can you say just a bit about what's going on with that?
Yes, we have had, through other contacts with people in Ukraine, we've made some contact with pastors who have begun to listen to just a few of our podcasts. And what has affected a few of these pastors is that they have been learning from organizations in the West, in the United States. They have been learning wonderful things about church structure and how to build a church, how to get people into church, how to be an attractive church model. So you put up your four walls, you begin to worship, You get your structure in place, you do things well, you have your theology sound, and then you just go for it. And what they have missed is how then do you mobilize the people that you have between your walls? How do you mobilize them in the world around? And is that really what the church is about? Is the church about getting as many people into your building and that's it? Or is the church about transforming the world around you? And so what they've heard from our podcasts is that the church is got the responsibility of advancing the kingdom, and that the region that a church is situated needs to look different, experience a transformational shift just because of that church's existence. So what's happened in a few pastors in the Ukraine who have heard that message from us have now invited us to speak to a lot of pastors in Ukraine with some prayer contact with some of those people. The Holy Spirit has been working and touching hearts and lives, and they're hungry for more. It's very interesting, and I do not want to in any way say anything negative about white missionaries for the last 50 years, right, Don? We're very grateful for the missionary work. But there is a theology that says if we could just set up churches and get as many people into the churches, then perhaps Christ will return when the full measure of Christians is met, then Christ will return and establish his reign here on earth. Don, you and I don't operate with that kind of emphasis. We believe that we're not just working for the millennial reign of Christ. We're operating right now. And the kingdom of God is right now. And that the Lord is reigning right now. And that he is king. And that he raises up his people to bring and expand his kingdom into their spheres of influence. And that the church's role is to raise up the apostolic gifting and send and commission people into the marketplace. And that is not a message that has come out of the West effectively. But now in the Ukraine, with this group of pastors, the message is being heard and there's a hunger for it.
Yeah. The invasion of the kingdom.
That's a
breaking
love
the invasion of the kingdom into everyday life, the reality of the presence of God and the kingdom of God here and now is such a vital component of the biblical vision of the completed work of Christ moving forward. And I guess the conversation I tend to have with folks who are trying to get people prepared for the dawn of the millennium is, that's great. And I look forward to the millennial kingdom too. But when I read scripture, I read that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a bride who is without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a bride who is mature and functioning the way she's supposed to be functioning. And at this point, we ain't that.
We ain't.
We got a long way to go before we look like that.
I agree.
Jesus isn't coming back for a bunch of people who are saved but still struggling with the same crap and aren't really impacting anybody, but they are saved, you know, and they're telling other people how to get saved.
Yeah.
But they're not worrying about the world around them.
Well, it's an interesting thing, Don. Missionaries take what they have in the United States and they bring it to where they go, right? Mm-hmm. And so if they are in an area where there are just a lot of Christians in the United States, and they want to make sure that the Christians are doing things right and they establish their laws and their rules. And then they go to another country and they put up a church building that looks exactly like their white square box with a steeple church building in the United States, right? They say to be a Christian means that you sing these songs, you operate with these rules, you establish this is what it means, you get those kinds of disciples. And so people in the foreign countries think that that's what Christianity is. And they don't even know about the incredible presence of the Holy Spirit and the power and the movement of the kingdom of God. And they don't know their identity in the kingdom of God. And so there comes a point where the missionary from U.S. going out does a disservice. In Africa, we saw the damages done by prosperity gospel teaching. We saw the damage done by the definition of what church is based on what a building looks like, right? Here are Africans who love to dance and move and sing and participate, right, when they worship. And here we force them into rows, sitting perfectly. Don't move. Don't make any noise.
Yeah.
Don't express yourself. Sit in a row and absorb, absorb, but don't interact. And then get as many people as you can just to come and sit in these rows. I mean, is that the kingdom of God? Is that transforming communities? So this message that we've been speaking in the Ukraine, there's a hunger there for it. In Kenya, there's a hunger there for it. Releasing the people to really pursue the person of Jesus Christ through his written word, understanding him in his written word, and letting the Holy Spirit do his work in us to advance the kingdom in all different spheres of the society of the region that God calls us to and gives us authority to operate in. That is a message that is beginning to develop roots. We're seeing the evidence of that in Russia. We're seeing the evidence of that in the Ukraine. We're seeing in various places in Africa. We're even seeing the evidence of that seed being planted in China. And I'm seeing the seed and the roots taking place where I live in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. A fresh message of mobilizing the body of Christ into the marketplace.
And there are groups who are doing work in
Amen.
Africa who are taking this message into various parts of Africa.
Without us, just
yeah,
doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Renita Reed and the group that she works has been doing a lot of things in East Africa. Partners Worldwide has been doing a lot of particularly development-type work in mobilizing marketplace initiatives. There's here in the U.S. 23rd of February, a national work as worship retreat taking place in Dallas, Texas, that's being simulcast around the country, where people in various cities are signing up and going in. Business people, business leaders are going in to attend the retreat by remote. There's some exciting things happening, but they're just beginning to scratch the surface. And a full and robust and compelling vision for the totality of life being touched by the presence of God and being carried out under his lordship joyously, flourishing in his presence, is a vision that really hasn't been caught yet.
No. An interesting theological reason that that hasn't been caught is when Jesus sent in the Great Commission, he said, go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. Go. He's saying, go. He was giving permission to his disciples to go and send people. And when Paul in Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold office, one of those offices is the apostle. And we have had such a respect for the original 12 apostles that we've been very careful to not recognize the apostolic gifting in the church today. We've been reticent to send people like the apostles would send and commission into our own cities. Instead, we pastor. We have the other four offices. We teach. We evangelize. But sending the people, we've been too concerned about our own money and about our own buildings. We've not allowed the apostolic gifting to be released. This challenge that the Lord has given us to release people into the marketplace demands that we resurrect the apostolic gifting in every church, and we send, and we commission, and we get people ready in that sending with all authority, like Jesus telling the 72 to go out, right, and to set the captive free and to drive out demons and to heal the lepers, commissioned for all that they will meet when they're sent. So Don, if sending doesn't happen in the place where missionaries are sent out, and then they're sent out and they don't know how to raise up the church and to send people into the marketplace and send people into their spheres of influence, and they've never experienced it, and they don't know what it is like to commission people in the power of the Holy Spirit, because they've never learned it at home, and when they go forward and they go out, they don't know how to tell people to do it out there either. It's not going to happen. But in this new day, this apostolic gifting, we are declaring it must be released, and sending must happen in the local level all over the globe.
I agree so fully with what you're saying. And we're seeing that happen.
We are seeing it happen.
We are seeing people catch this vision of God's presence in the streets and of doing something that is innovative.
Amen.
Something that is different.
Yep.
You know, there's the old adage that gets kicked around, insanity is, or the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result.
Yep.
And yet, we behave that way in so many contexts. We make a big plan, we set huge expectant goals, and yet we go about getting there the same way that we always have. And if that way was going to work, it would have gotten us there before this.
Exactly, and it didn't. Can I give an example? Maybe one more example would be helpful.
Sure.
Just very quickly, I grew up in, my father was a missionary in the United States. So he would go to regions where a church was needed, and he would gather people and plant a church. And so we moved all over the western part of the United States. For a period of time, he worked, and my family followed him around on the Navajo Indian Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of churches planted and started on the Navajo Indian Reservation. And one of the most interesting things was the number of white Midwest churches with wooden pews and beautiful parsonages for the pastor. And there were Navajos there, and they're worshiping. But in the summer, they didn't worship inside the church. They worshiped underneath their own style of outdoor structures. And yet they sang the white songs. There was pictures of the white Jesus in the stained glass. There was something wrong in this. It just didn't make sense to me. Did the Lord not come to the Navajo Indian and meet him where he was at and touch his heart and transform him and bring his word to touch that heart? And how did that then express itself in worshiping our King and our Lord? And so the church hasn't been thriving there. And then in one area specifically, the missionaries are so unaware of the reality of advancing God's kingdom that they're being beaten up by the world around them, and they don't understand even evil spirits because they don't get it. They think church is pews and buildings and liturgies, and they don't understand. And it's not their fault, but this message needs to penetrate even in the United States into the regions of the Native American communities, that people are mobilized. The kingdom of God is in your heart, and the presence of the Spirit of God is where you are, and you are the temple. And you need to sing how God has called you to sing and to worship Him and stand in His Word and learn it and know your Lord and know who He was as a Jewish man and how He has brought the kingdom of God out of Judaism and into your world, and Christianity burgeoning into your world. And what does it look like from His Word? And how does He express Himself in your heart? And how does He go into your world and establish His presence in your world? What does that look like? What's the liturgy that He wants to write on your heart in the places that you move in? This is a powerful message, Don.
And how does He transform and complete your culture?
Amen.
Redeem it. He doesn't bring a transplanted culture. He redeems all of life. Everywhere that the gospel comes, everywhere that the kingdom invades. And I guess I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't often put out something that I label as a prophetic word, you know, that thus says the Lord sort of thing, because I think that gets abused so much. But it's still authentic. And I think God does speak today in authentic ways. And He speaks through events and circumstances. And I just was struck by something this past weekend with the Super Bowl. And I had heard from the charismatic and Pentecostal prophetic movement all these words coming out about the Patriots and the Eagles, and it was all couched in American Christian language and American Christian cultural agenda. And what struck me with the outcome, and what struck me with the setup of the Eagles versus the Patriots, and the outcome of the Eagles coming out from behind, was that this was very unexpected, and is there a possibility that God is authentically saying something through this? And what rose up in my own spirit was that there is a kind of Christianity that has been preached, that has been practiced, that has been promoted as being the authentic biblical expression for the 21st century. And it is a Christianity that is wrapped in the American flag. It is American first, and it is Christian second. It is a cultural civil religion, and it is as much about patriotism as it is about discipleship and compassion, if not more. And yes, the kingdom of God is for America. It is for the redemption and transformation of America. But it's also for the redemption and the transformation of Russia. And it's for the redemption and the transformation of China and of the nations of Africa, of the nations of the Middle East, of the nations of South America, the Pacific Rim. And the patriot vision of faith has seen its day. There is another vision, a prophetic vision that says, no, there's something more that's preparing God's people to soar and to see and to do some great things that have never been imagined before. because of a kingdom vision that's rising up and standing as a prophetic expression of the presence and fullness of the kingdom of God in outposts around the world with transformative power to model what it looks like to be the kingdom of God here and now in a whole host of divergent cultural contexts, in a host of divergent people groups, expressing what it means to be disciples of Jesus and to be the kingdom of God and the presence of God with skin on it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. We can't, from the United States, confuse our patriotism with Christianity. I have an incredible level of patriotism, but I can't confuse it with Christianity and the kingdom of God. On the other hand, I belong to three different groups of intercessors who have been praying for many years for three different presidents. And I speak the name of Jesus. I did this for the last three presidents. And I believe it is the role of the church to speak the authority of the kingdom of God, to speak into our world and into our government and into our leaders. And I am very familiar with being an intercessor in the spirit, in the president's room, with my hands on him in the spirit, speaking the name of Jesus over him, over the vice president, over his wife, over the speaker of the house, over his family, and over his cabinet and his team. It's the work of the kingdom. And that shifts and changes. But when I have been in other countries, I don't think that they completely understand that the presence of the kingdom of God in them means the transformational shift to their nation. And it's time to get to work. It's time to believe and operate with authority and with power. And I agree. We can't, from the United States, confuse our patriotism with Christianity. We need to understand the division and not operate within that. I agree. But the influence of the kingdom of God can transform the nations. He ordains our civic leaders. I mean, he's not sitting on the sidelines biting his fingernails. He is greatly involved. And we need to join our God in his work. So therefore, there is a sphere of influence that the church can have. And I step into it personally in my country and in my state. I am actively involved. In fact, this morning, spent 45 minutes praying with others about the President of the United States, praying over him. And on top of that, I spent another at least a half hour praying over my region and the government, my region, and my city government with two other people. And that's a normal day for me. I believe in the transforming work of the kingdom of God. And I am grieving when our nation does not match principles and values of the word of God. I need to pray through that. And I need to take the authority of Christ in it. So this message, I think, is not propagating the United States of America. This message is delivering the freedom of the kingdom of God and its incredible transformational power.
And I think it provides a framework for us to pray and to speak intelligibly into the various spheres or sectors of our culture, be they government, business, entertainment, home, school, to be present in those.
Amen.
And it provides a framework for speaking and acting innovatively, guided by the wisdom of the Spirit of God. If the God who made the world is still present and active, you think he might have some innovative ideas about how to deal with the situations that we find ourselves in each of those sectors of our life?
Right. Amen.
He's not just concerned about our, quote, spiritual, unquote, lives. He's concerned about our lives.
Amen.
And if he's concerned about them, he has something to say about it.
He does.
And that's not some crazy statement to make. Francis Schaeffer, years ago, wrote a book that impacted me called He Is There and He Is Not Silent. This was a leading Reformed thinker of the time to the broad church, and he's saying, not only is God there, but he's there and he's not silent. So why aren't we listening?
He is speaking. When I began to pray over the president today, I began to cry because the Lord was speaking. The presence of the Holy Spirit was speaking. He's speaking about what to say in prayer. He's waiting for people to intercede, to stand in the gap, and to speak. And we just need to listen and cooperate and join him. When you're standing in a shop, let's say you are in an Asian world, standing at the market, and you're listening to this in China, you're listening to this message, and the shopkeeper has dedicated his shop to his gods, right? Mm-hmm. And he has cultivated the blood of sacrifice for his shop. And you're going there and you're going to buy those fruits and vegetables from his shop that have been dedicated to his god. All of a sudden, you've got to live counterculturally. You've got to buy those fruits and vegetables, and you've got to stand in the name of Jesus and dedicate them to your own god. But if you want to see, you want to see that shopkeeper transformed, it's time not just to speak truth, but to engage in the presence of the kingdom of God. And sometimes that's power-based engagement, and quietly you can speak the name of Jesus over that shopkeeper, his whole shop, his whole marketplace existence. You can walk the streets up and down the marketplace speaking the name of Jesus. You can ask the Lord to soften the hearts of the shopkeepers all around. And you can do this daily and wait and look and watch, because the Lord is answering that prayer and he's going before, and he will bring a shopkeeper that you can speak to, and they will come to know the Lord Jesus. And the presence of the kingdom of God will begin to shift, and that shop will no longer dedicate their goods and their wares to their gods and cultivate the blood of that sacrifice any longer, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will reign supreme. But it didn't begin with you just standing, speaking truth, or building a church down the street with white walls and pews and sing the exactly perfect songs with the best liturgy. It meant you were out in the marketplace and you were walking the street and you were praying, speaking the name of Jesus and loving with the love of Christ and raising your hands in the power of the Spirit and watching what God was doing and then joining him in his work when you saw him at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been anointed and you've been sent into that marketplace. And it changes the marketplace.
Amen. Well, Dave, looking further into 2018, where do you think we're going with this?
Well, I think this year, and our listeners need to know, Don, you and I, we are willing to bring this message in specific ways. And we'd like to hear back from you. Would you share some of your stories? And we'd like to apply this message in specific ways that could help you in your specific situation. We are also able to travel, and we are willing to send others or come ourselves or one of us into your situation and to train and to teach and to work with your people. We are developing and producing workbooks and Bible studies and training tools and books and videos to help. Some tools that are on our way are in the areas of prayer and in discipleship. So I think this year, on the ground, in various places across the globe, we're going to see this message expand and grow, and we're excited about participating in what God is doing.
Okay. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this session, but if folks do want to get a hold of us, just shoot us an email at empowermentfriends@gmail.com, and we'll be delighted to get back in touch with you, to sit down and talk with you personally, face-to-face, if you're in one of our regions. If not, Skype and WhatsApp are wonderful ways of getting a hold of each other and having a virtual cup of coffee.
And we love coffee, don't we, Don?
We do. We do. So we hope that we'll be in your prayers, and you all will be in our prayers as we move forward into season 4 of Marketplace Kingdom here on the Street Faith Podcast channel. For now, God bless. I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Heisinger.
You have a great day and a rich and flourishing life in Jesus.
You've been listening to the 2018 anniversary episode of Marketplace Kingdom. This and other episodes are available, always free, for online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2018 Creative Commons copyright. If you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can be accessed on the Street Faith Podcast channel at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. You can also find the Street Faith channel in the podcast sections of iTunes and Google Play, and be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. To learn more about what we do and the resources we offer, visit our ministry website, 7mountainalliance.webs.com. As you know, costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or easily donate to our work, or to find out how you can have Dave Heisinger or DJ Swanger as a speaker at your church, group, organization, or event, simply email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. That's empowermentfriends@gmail.com. Contact us. We'd love to hear your story and partner with you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, thanks for listening. And remember, you are important to Jesus and His kingdom right where you are.